We're going to go ahead and get started this episode. I have a lot to talk about. This episode is about basically the streaming wars, Roku versus Google, YouTube TV. And then also we'll talk about Apple versus Epic Games. And then we'll talk about some sad news, of course, the pending divorce of, wow, Bill and Melinda Gates. That's just crazy to me. And so, yeah, all right, so let's get started. So, there are so many video streaming companies out there. There are so many services out there. And Roku and Google are fighting. And there's more to it than just money. Though that is definitely a big factor in this. But it's also about the streaming technology and the new technology that allows streaming companies to send the same video with less bandwidth. See, Google and the other streaming companies would like Roku to make a change in the technology that they use. However, it's going to require them to have to make some changes to their technology. And it could very well mean that Roku has to make new streaming sticks with new processor support technology, which means Roku wants the streaming companies to pay more. And in case you didn't know it, every streaming service pays Roku to be featured on a Roku streaming device. Roku makes money every time a new streaming service comes out, and they get paid monthly. And so they charge these fees so that the service can land on our device. And that's the Roku stick is the device of choice for most people. In fact, HBO Max waited a long time before they went and put their channel on Roku because they didn't want to pay the fees. And they were kind of holding back, hoping they could negotiate a better deal. And this new technology would force Roku to abandon the older devices a bit more quickly than they had planned to. But Roku likes to play hardball with all the folks that put channels on Roku streaming device. How many of you are using Roku sticks or Roku, you know, all the many Roku boxes, Roku HD and all those? I've been using Roku boxes for a long time because they're the most kind of, let's say, agnostic. They, even though they're in it for money, they don't pick sides. So if people are willing to pay them, they'll put it on there. I mean, so you can get, you know, Apple TV, Apple TV Plus and HBO Max and Sling TV and YouTube TV and all these bunches of services. Did you know that the largest streaming services are Netflix, which has 204 million subscribers? Then second runner-up is Prime Video, which is part of Amazon Prime membership now. And that can be purchased, but you can actually purchase the video service separately. I don't know why you'd want to do that. Maybe you don't buy stuff from Amazon, but I buy stuff a little more frequently from Amazon than I really want to admit, but I love Amazon. Anyway, it has 150 million subscribers, and Spotify, while not a video service, it is a, you know, they have 144 million subscribers. Wow. So that's why Spotify has been making such a big play in podcasts, because podcasts are big. And then, you know, Disney Plus has nearly 100 million subscribers. These numbers are based on visualcapitalist.com, which is my favorite statistical graphing site. They find cool stats and they make pretty graphs from them. And then, by the way, Apple TV Plus has over 10 million subscribers. And let's take a look. Let's see how this goes. This went off the rails in rehearsal. So, hey, so here we go. All right. So if you'll see right here, it's a pretty graph. This is visualcapitalist.com, which I recommend subscribing to. They send me cool stuff all the time. This is Streaming Wars. So Netflix has 204 million as of fourth quarter of 2020. They had 115 million in the fourth quarter of 2019. So the pandemic was good for Netflix. Prime 150 million. They literally doubled. Spotify, 144 million. Tencent is China's largest video service. And then you see Disney Plus here, 95. I recently saw something that said they're up to 100 million now. Another Chinese video service. And it talks about YouTube Music, that type of thing. But the point being is that, wow, that's a lot of stuff going on there. So, you know, going back here, let's see if things work. Ah, cool. I love when things work like I asked them to. And so anyway, that's featured on visualcapitalist.com. By the way, this is Roy Richardson. This is the live version of the One-Off Tech podcast. I'm calling this the One-Off Tech show live. And, you know, if you're looking for me out there, someplace you'll see me. People call me the tech troublemaker. I don't know why. I promise I'm a nice person. Who knows why? Who knows why? You know, and then let's talk about how social. So if you want to follow me on social media, I am on Twitter and Instagram as A. Roy Richardson. So please feel free to come look for me on both those platforms. Here on YouTube, I am Roy Richardson. So if you do youtube.com/Roy Richardson, that's me. There's a bunch of different Roy Richardsons, so I'm the Roy W one. And so I had to do that to make sure people could find me. And so that's it. So continuing on here, I think that's enough there, buddies. All right. So years ago, I gave up cable for streaming services. I was paying $200 a month to not watch but four channels. I've had Netflix for years. I did the DVD service, mailing service for their streaming service when it became a viable option. I moved to streaming. I tried out Hulu. I kind of like it, but the commercials, boy, howdy. It just got so painful not being able to fast forward through commercials. And then, so it was okay for a while. Then I tried some of the others. Sling TV, for example, I hated it because some channels you could pause. Some channels were live. You had no options. And then YouTube TV offered me a deal. They offered me a service for $35 a month. But over time, it has doubled in channels. And as that has happened, it has doubled in price. I mean, when it added the Viacom channels is when it really became doubling cost for me. And I was like, I know, nothing doubling cost. And so, yeah, when I think of all the different services that I've used and all the different services I'm currently using. So right now I have YouTube TV, which I love for many reasons. One, because you can pause. I can search for programs that I missed and it will go back and catch them next time they play. In some cases, it will offer video on demand on those shows, but you can't fast forward to commercials when it's a video on demand, but I can record stuff and it will keep it for 8 months and it's awesome. So I will see a bunch of movies out there that I want to watch and I'll record them. For example, I recorded the Godfather movies and one weekend I'm just going to binge watch all three Godfather movies and, you know, get that out of my system again. And that's one of the things I love about YouTube TV. They have so much channel selection. And their search capability is better than any other. While their interface is not amazing, it is really, really good. And I have loved YouTube TV because of that. I also have Amazon Prime, but I am addicted to Prime. I probably order something from Amazon at least once a week. And then I have HBO Max, which they had a deal where for about $70, you got 6 months of it. And I only did it so I could see, I wanted to see Wonder Woman 1984. I liked the original Wonder Woman. It was fantastic. I really thought this would be as good. You know, everybody, your own opinion. This is not a place to do movie reviews, but it wasn't my favorite. I was a little saddened by it because I'm like, man, you could have done so much more. You had all that time. You could have made it amazing. And they didn't. So, yeah, there you go. And then the other thing is I also have, I almost have to do an inventory. I have Apple TV Plus. I got that because I bought an Apple device at Christmas. Well, they gave me a year of it Christmas last year. I bought an iPad, and they gave me a free year. And then they've just extended it recently because basically of the pandemic, they didn't come out with any shows. But Ted Lasso is my favorite show on Apple TV+. That show is amazing. And I would almost want to subscribe just to make sure I see that show because it was so good. You felt so good after watching it. And again, I'm not doing TV reviews. Then I have Disney+. I lucked up on a deal because I was in the D23 fan club, which is a Disney fan club. They had a deal where if you were in the Disney fan club, you could get 3 years for $3.99 a month. And so you just had to pay for all at once. And I thought, well, you know, sure, the first year probably won't have anything. But I kept thinking, all the Marvel stuff might come out, so it might be good. And I will say The Mandalorian was fantastic. And I have enjoyed, you know, the Marvel content come on, you know, WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier. I thought that was really good. And there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that I really enjoyed watching, and I love watching old Disney cartoons. So, good stuff there. And, yeah, in fact, I've been watching a lot of old Warner Brothers cartoons on HBO Max. So that's kind of good. But I was kind of thinking, wow, you know, originally, let's see, well, even before cable, I had satellite TV, which is about $170-something a month. I had Dish, and then DirecTV kind of took over, and Dish was amazing, had amazing customer service, and then something happened when it stopped being Prime. That's right, it used to be PrimeStar. When it stopped being PrimeStar, Dish went downhill. And then DirecTV, I have some experience with it, but I never got into it. And then I went cable, but then it always winds up, you know, there's a few cool things, and then I wind up down to four channels. And it wasn't worth 200 something bucks. I was getting internet as part of that package, but it was just very sad. And then I went with, you know, cable, you know, the cable TV. Then I went to streaming, and I tried out, Sling TV, and that was okay. But then I got YouTube TV, and that was awesome. And as I said, I still love YouTube TV. I still think that's the best selection for the money. You just have to, you know, look and see. I just think 7 days is too short a period of time for somebody to evaluate it. So I really don't agree with just a 7-day trial. Nobody should have, it should be 30 days at least so you can find out, do I really want this? Is it worth the value for me? But anyway, the point being is that when I go think about the money I'm spending, I am paying, this is my price per month. I am paying $69 a month for YouTube TV because it kept going up and the taxes and everything. Amazon Prime, oh, I should change that. I'm not paying $120. That's actually $120 per year, so technically I'm doing $12. Okay, I'm doing $12 a month. I'm doing $17 a month for Netflix. I'm doing $3.99 a month for Disney+. And then when I look at HBO Max, I'm paying roughly $12 a month for the period of time I'm getting it. And then Apple TV right now currently is free, but I think it's $10 a month when it goes where I have to pay for it. So hopefully Ted Lasso comes out before I lose it and I can binge watch it. And then, hey, I can miss Apple TV for a year until Ted Lasso's third season comes out. I can live with that. No. Anyway, so that's approximately what I'm paying per month just for TV. And I'm almost down to watching four channels. That's how it goes when you a la carte. And there was a time when people wanted the cable providers to do a la carte, where can I just buy this channel and this channel and this channel? And the problem is that the companies Viacom and those like Paramount and all that are making these TV programs are bundling the channels, and they make it too expensive for there to be true a la carte. And now everybody and his brother has a streaming service. CBS became Paramount Plus, and Peacock, oh, I forgot I have Peacock, but Peacock's free. I haven't paid any money for Peacock, and I haven't watched it in 3 months. So it just doesn't jump out. I mean, sure, The Office is on there, but I haven't needed it, so makes me sad. Next up, Chapter 2. So this week, Apple and Epic Games have gone to court. Why, you may ask? Well, so, did you know that every time you buy an app from the Apple Store, the Apple App Store. Apple takes a 30% cut from that game. 30 or app or anything. If you subscribe to something on your iPhone or iPad, Apple gets 30% cut. To the point where some people have written apps which are really embedded web browsers so that you go to a web browser to do the functions so that you're not actually using an app from the App Store so it doesn't talk to the back end. Well, Epic thought, you know what? We're going to go to kind of a tokens type of thing. You'll have to go to the Epic website and buy those tokens there and then come in into the app and then they'll be on your account and cash them in. And then you can totally avoid, we don't have to pay that 30%. And this all happened because of Fortnite. And Apple has been Apple makes billions of dollars from the App Store. Billions with a B because of that 30%. And even the mom and pop developers, the guys that are writing that app that just, you know, brand new app, it's the first thing they've ever written. Apple's taking a 30% cut. Well, after Epic said, I'm going to take you to court, and Apple said, well, you know, our policy clearly states you can't circumvent our payment system. And if you do circumvent our payment system, we can kick you off of our platform. It's our phone. It's our ecosystem. We can kick you off. And so, well, they did. They kicked Epic off of that ecosystem. And then the judge came back and kind of did a restraining order. Said, well, no, you can't quite kick them off yet. But if you want to keep them doing the things, you can. And so Epic said, well, I'm going to take it to court because of this. And Apple has relented for developers that have things that haven't made at least $1 million and says, okay, we're only going to charge you 10% now. But once you make more than a million, we're going to go back to 30%. So, wow. Yeah, that's a lot of money. If you have a $1 app, then Apple's getting 30 cents. You're getting 70 cents. What did Apple do? They just provided a way for you to sell your product. And you have to admit, they kind of got it locked in. It's a walled garden. They've got people locked in, and you have to go with the Apple ecosystem. In the case of Android, Google charges a 30% rate too. But you can, though it's not safe, and I don't recommend it, you can sideload applications and totally avoid the Apple Play Store. So you do not have to pay to load apps onto your Android phone. But it's a security risk. You don't know for sure that that app is safe. Now, I used to do that all the time. I used to sideload apps on my phone because I was, one thing, Google wouldn't release certain apps for my particular device because my device hadn't kept up with the latest and greatest. And so I would go sideload a feature or a camera app or something because I wanted that app. It would run on my device. They just hadn't released it for my device. And so if you went to the Play Store, it'd say, well, it's not compatible. But it was. But the fact is that I was taking a risk and I could have loaded viruses or a Trojan that could have went in and scraped all my data out of my phone. And so the same boat you have with iPhone and the Apple ecosystem. And so, yeah, that's a challenge. Now, you got a computer, you got a MacBook or iMac, you can download apps from websites and install it. So they're not controlling you on your computer, but they definitely control the mobile devices and that ecosystem. And so Epic is suing. And this is going to have a major precedent on that entire industry because in the EU and US Congress are recognizing or seeing or believe that Apple and Google both are monopolies, that they are monopolies. And so they are looking for ways to regulate them. The problem with that is that the groups that are trying to do the regulation often will write laws that do not fix the problem and make it worse for consumers. So, what do you do? I just have to wait and see on this one. We'll have to wait and see what happens on this. Now, we'll just have to wait and see. My bet is that we'll find some happy place in the middle and maybe Apple doesn't charge quite as much. And maybe they become a bit more Apple friendly. I don't know. Chapter 3. So this week was the sad news that Bill and Melinda Gates are divorcing. Now, I'm very sad about that because, well, to be honest, To me, no geek should be without a significant other. I absolutely, while Melinda is not the geek that Bill is, she's super smart in the stuff that she does. And as geeks, we need somebody as smart, if not smarter than us, to balance us out, to keep us in check, because we will lose our minds. Our lives are all microchips and cool tech, and we live in a world mentally that's a little dystopian, and so we need somebody in our life who isn't ones and zeros 24/7. And so while we don't know the details, I'm concerned about their foundation. I know that some of the things that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has done are controversial, but I also know that they've done things that have helped humanity. And no, good doesn't cancel out bad, but the world is in such need, and for a billionaires to spend their money trying to help the world, granted misguided at times, but trying their best, then I think that's a good thing. Warren Buffett kind of encouraged them to do that, and they made a commitment that they were going to take half their money and put it toward philanthropic causes and trying to make it a world a better place. And I just hope that it does. So that's what I'm really hoping for. All right. Epilogue. Hey. So next week's episode is about our robot masters. Actually, it's about how tech, AI, and machine learning and robots are coming for our jobs. And so we need to start thinking or retooling ourselves to be ready. There will be new jobs. I've always joked, learn how to fix the robots so you can stay gainfully employed. Learn how to program the AI, the artificial intelligence, so that you can stay gainfully employed. Learn how to program the machine learning so you can stay gainfully employed. But there's also going to be lots and lots of other new jobs out there because of this. And so we'll talk about that next week. And we'll talk about, hey, it's not as dire as it might seem. No matter, we haven't quite reached Skynet yet, but, I think we'll be okay. Also, from a not necessary tech, but definitely related to jobs, we will talk about universal basic wage. So universal basic wage, the concept is that you pay people a set amount, regardless of whether they work or not, and that guarantees that if nothing else, they have money to be able to live and survive. And there's been some unique experiments in it that have had interesting results. So I think you'll really like that. That's all next week's episode. Again, this is the One-Off Technology Podcast, and I look forward to seeing you next week on the One-Off Technology Podcast. Goodbye! You've been listening to the One-Off Technology Podcast with your host, Roy Richardson. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcast on Apple, Google, Stitcher, and Spotify. That's a wrap. That's a wrap. Hey, let's get social. Be sure to follow me on Twitter or Instagram at @AroyRichardson. Love to talk to you. Send me a message. Bye.